All right. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be talking about the apostolic model. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, 18, and 19. We know this scripture very well, but I want to take it to a different perspective for us. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We have been talking about leaving a pastor-only model behind, and what has happened because of circumstances. The church has grown spiritually through this transition. A couple of weeks ago, I put a board down and we spiritually or supernaturally changed over and walked across the threshold as a crossing over of the Jordan River spiritually. And all of us have made a point, and I'm really excited for Kimmy because I know how much of a struggle it is for her. Public speaking is not her dynamic, but you know what? God has given her the courage to be bold and speak out. She's coming out of her comfort zone. And it's kind of like years ago when the Lord spoke to me about her, that she was like this budded flower that is now starting to open up. And the aroma that's contained within that flower is now going to permeate the area that she's found in. And so that's the same for each and every one of you guys, that as you begin to allow the God to use you in a way that brings you out of your comfort zone, this aroma that He has placed in you, this Spirit of the living God that is within you, begins to permeate and changes the environment that you're in. We have to understand too that crossing over the Jordan spiritually, we are now taking possession of the things that Jesus promised us, not only on His death, burial, and resurrection to today, but also to understand that as we walk through these things, these elements become our reality. Gary puts it as new wineskin, which it is. It is new wine. It is a new effervescence that is bubbling up within our spirits, and that we see this thing happening to us. We have to also look around and see this glorious church that He is building. The Lord Jesus Christ is building, not us. And the dichotomy that we see here that's happening is you may not see what He sees. You may see something, but it is not what God says it is. And really what the reality of what I'm speaking to is, if we look at the church of Jesus Christ, or the churches that we've visited, or the churches that we've been in, it's a far cry to what Jesus describes to us as a victoriously overcoming church. And the reason for it is because we are in a warfare. Whether you understand it or not, we are in a spiritual warfare. And this warfare is to keep us from becoming that which God has called us to be individually, but He has called us for a greater purpose collectively. And it's called His church. He's building it. And in this move, this end time move, Jesus' Spirit is moving upon men and women that have the desire to see what He is doing and to be a part of that. Just like this fellow Tom. He's saying to me, I don't know what it is that's telling me to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. And I'm telling him, it's the Holy Spirit. And when we sat down and talked yesterday, he was just all of a sudden just sharing his heart. He was just sharing his testimony of where he's been. And it hasn't been good for him. But I'll tell you what. He sees something that God's doing with us. And it's the more we start to fellowship and become part of what he's talking about, the reality of his relationship with Jesus Christ will become more pronounced because of you. Not because of me, but because of you and the Spirit of God that's within you. We have to understand, too, that the model of construction is God's. And what he has given to us to model after is not the pastor-only model. It's not the pastor that does everything. It's not the pastor who controls everything. It's not the pastor who does anything. But if you look at the book of Acts talks about apostles building the end-time church. There has been no church that has been built other than by apostles. Sent ones. That's all an apostle is a sent one. What is the purpose of the pastor? He is to maintain and care for the sheep. He is not to build the church. He is to maintain and care for the sheep. And so what God is looking for today is a way in which that when we look at Scripture, we should be motivated when we study the Scriptures. To read the Scriptures, just to read it, is carnal. I'll tell you flat out. If you're reading it and you come up to me, Pastor, you know, I just read 3 books of the Bible. Great, what'd you get out of it? Oh, I don't remember. See, this is not, the exercise is not to read the Word. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so what happens is, if you're just reading to read, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. You're not going to be there mentally thinking about how the kingdom of God operates. You're not going to be able to see with spiritual eyes the reality of what Jesus wants to do with you, through you, and with us together. And so what is happening is there is this model we have to understand. We can no longer be a people that is just sitting in a pew waiting to get raptured. That's not going to happen, church. I hate to break it to you. You didn't get saved to have Jesus as an escape pod from here. Not happening. He's got a greater plan for your life, and it's about time that you begin to start allowing the Spirit to use you for that life, because when He comes, the Word says He has your reward with Him. So when do you think you're going to get that reward? When He comes. But if you're not busy about Father's business, what is your reward? Something to think about. Something to think about. I don't want to chastise anybody. I want to get you guys to begin to start understanding some things. As end time believers, we are not just to get saved and learn of Him. As end time believers, we are movers and shakers to make history. Change history. That is what we are here for. We're not to sit by and just allow our situations to speak to us and contain us. We are to speak to those situations and change them through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that if all we have is Jesus as Savior and we have not made Him King and Lord, I question your salvation. It's kind of like what was expressed earlier. I don't want to be just a Christian. I want to be a disciple. And that is so true. He's not coming back for Christians. I hate to break it to you, but everywhere it talks about disciples. If you're not being discipled and you're not being trained in the things of the Spirit, how to get your house right because of things that God wants to get done, you're missing out. God will find someone who wants to get their life right, wants to put it in a proper perspective so they can be sent. That, your house isn't perfect, is it? But you're going. Because your heart's right. And that's what God wants. He wants our hearts right. This expansion of the kingdom will only happen when the church engages the world. Okay? And that starts by us turning down, tearing down the strongholds that are contained within us. It starts with us. Okay? If we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work with us and change us, and we embrace that, remember last week I said we have to embrace kingdom culture? Remember? We have to jettison. We have to get rid of the world's culture. We can't no longer be like them. It's no peaceful coexistence. The saints will be destroyed with the ain'ts in that place there. It's no longer compromising our lives for our carnality. It's no longer compromising our lives in such a way that it's expedient to the decisions that we make. God is real serious about this, and we have to be real serious about what we're about. We're about the salvation of souls. And what has happened is the enemy has filled the church with a spirit of apathy, has filled the church with a spirit of disconnect, has filled the church with laziness. And what has happened is the light of the gospel is now exposing this. And we've talked about the Jezebel spirit. We've talked about the spirit of slothfulness. We've talked about all the things that these spirits are all about. And I would ask you guys to go back and look at your notes. Go back to the archives and pull these messages back up, because your discernment is going to be critical. It is not like TV. Okay, where you had these demons running around and things are they're in control, and the church is afraid to do anything. Do you know that God is building a church that is rebellious to the world system, is victorious, and is glorious? It's not a church that is sitting in fear, waiting for God to come. It is a church that is going out and engaging the enemy. This is why God says the judgment starts in the household. He wants to clean his house first. He's not talking about little things that impede us. He's talking about demons that have infiltrated us mentally, have infiltrated us, that we have sinful behaviors that we've been wrestling with for years, and we're thinking that if we can hide it, we'll be the better for it, because nobody will know. God knows. Don't you think that God loves you so much that He wants to set you free, to release you, to be a terror to the enemy? That's His plan. That is His plan. And that only happens through an apostolic model. We have to have an apostolic perspective of the church. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 14 through 29, it discloses that the church is supposed to be the epicenter of all God's authority, all God's power, all of God's might on earth. We're the answer to what the world needs through Jesus Christ. Each and every one of you is an answer to someone else. And that's the truth. But because the church has been filled with a lot of religious activity, because the church has been entertained, because the church doesn't feel like doing what it's supposed to do, the gospel is not going out. And God is calling into the church a remnant. Hear me. He is calling into the church a remnant to come out of the church, who will assemble to become His glorious church at before He comes. And it is destined to us to build that church so that we can go and preach the good news, that we can go and heal the sick, that we can go and cast out demons. Where do you think the demons are? They're in people. And we need not be afraid of them, because all power and authority has been given to who? The church. You individually. And I think sometimes we buy into this lie that we have to wait till we get to the by and by to receive what it is that God wants. When you receive Jesus Christ, you got everything that He has for you. You may not have come into the revelation of it yet, but you have the fullness of the power of the King who raised Christ from the dead is now dwelling in you. Everything He is in you. It's just sometimes we have to go back and get recharged. And how we get recharged is how we go and pray, how we sit before Him, how we allow His presence to come upon us, to recharge our spirits. Jesus is building a church that is unstoppable. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He wasn't saying to Peter what the Catholics have turned it into be, that he was the first pope. Jesus is the only pope, the only king, the only Lord over His church, over the universe, over demons, principalities, and powers, and spiritual wickedness. He's over that. And He has elevated us above them. We were created a little bit below the angels, and now we have authority over the angels. Not God's angels, but demons. Thereby you have power and authority to cast them out. And in the months ahead, we're going to learn how to combat these demons. We're going to learn how to cast them out of people. We're going to learn how to discern when they're active in there. We're going to learn how to get rid of the trash that's in people's lives that these demons feed on. Oh, Pastor, you're scaring me. You shouldn't be afraid. The demon in you is afraid. And he wants you to believe that it's not going to happen to you. The church is filled with demons. And we need to take back God's people and release them upon the spiritual realm like never before. And because there has been this lulling for so many years, 1900 years of this pastor-only model, this program-based church that has been happening for the last 100, 150 years, the church has bought into the lies. It sits back in fear. And it has such apathy towards the conditions of men. It has been so silent against all the fivefold ministers and other believers that have been murdered through abortion for so many years. It's time now for the church to arise and to shine and to spread the gospel out and speak out against this wickedness. For Jesus is coming for a bride not with spot or wrinkle, but is holy and righteous and powerful and mature. And that's who you are. That's who He says you are. I know it's going to take work. I know that some of the stuff that we've done through the years, the basics of the elements, most people have correlated that to as a Bible study or an exercise. I'm here to tell you that these elements are opportunities for you to open up your life to people so that they can minister to you. The study is to study, but they are supposed to be designed to be springboards to show you how to live this victorious life as we're in this study right now. Well, Pastor, I am living this victorious life. Okay, well then you need to preach this message. You need to be the one telling me how an apostle builds into somebody's life. Because if you have this revelation, why aren't you doing it? God said, you'll find me if you seek me with your whole heart. Not if you read the Bible. The revelation comes to those who sit at His feet and wait upon the Lord. Because then He'll renew their strength. Peter said in Acts 4 that as the gospel goes forth, God is going to bring a time of refreshing. upon the church. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, he told them this was the culmination of Joel, what Prophet Joel had prophesied. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1, stay where you are until you are endowed with power from on high to be witnesses of me. How many of us have tried to witness to people and there was no power? We've all done it. How many of us have witnessed when the Spirit has stirred us and we see people change, people commit their lives to Christ? This is what I'm talking about in spiritual discernment. Discerning the Spirit, discerning the enemy, because we're in this warfare and we need apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, of which some of you will become. You're but the first fruits of the end time move of God. You may not believe it. This just can't be real. I told you years ago that when we crossed over, that it was going to get real, real fast. And you heard from the men, you heard from your brothers, the spiritual correlation of what's going on right now. And it's spiritual truth in its fullness. God is going to pour out upon us. Demons are going to manifest because they don't want what God wants to give to His church. And they may manifest through you, because you've been willing to allow them to lie to you, to hold on to this little dark secret that's in there. And I my heart is not to expose you, but to release you from that demonic stronghold so that you can go and terrorize other demons. And that's God's heart. And Satan uses these spirits to engage the church. This is where the battle comes in. When we're talking about Jezebel, remember how I said she was a rebellious spirit? But we tend to give gender to these spirits. They're neither male or female. They can inhabit a man or a woman. It depends on how we discern what is happening in a person that manifests this spirit. That's why discerning the spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And some of us are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why are you afraid of something that the Father from above has given to us that would be good for us? To help us. To empower us. Because we need Him to destroy the works of the enemy. We need Him. God has been filling men with His Spirit in these recent years. Remember I was saying that in the 1990s that God was manifesting the prophets again. And these prophets were speaking of the second coming, and they were talking about the next move of God as to restoring the apostles. We're now in 2000, in the teens. And the apostolic is being restored. We are now in a paradigm shift. A transition that is happening right before your eyes. That those who are still in denominationalism, those who are still in religion, will be swept away. They're not of God. Because they cannot see how to unite the Spirit of God through believers. They're about, this is what I believe, this is how it has to be, this is the doctrine, and they would rather argue doctrine. God doesn't have time for that. Doctrine is important, yes. Don't get me wrong. But we need to line up with what God says, not what men say. And the church has for too long suffered under traditions of men, not the Word of God, not truth. Isn't that the same accusation that Jesus made against the Pharisees? They were religious, and they substituted the truth of God, the Word of God, for the traditions of men. And we have that happening today within the church. And so God is calling out those who don't want to feed at that dry well anymore. Of which you are a part of now. And much of the church is apostate because of it. God is restoring and filling men and women to become master crafters, master builders, reformers, Renaissance people, to restore the culture of the kingdom once and for all before He comes. That's what the heralds are saying. Prepare the way of the Lord. He's not coming to a demon-filled culture. He's coming to a culture that welcomes the King. Our King. And that is what we're involved in right now. These master builders that will soon be raised up, supernaturally be filled with the revelation of which you guys are, will teach the nuts and bolts of the basics of how to operate within the kingdom. So that the restoration of the tabernacle of David, the living tabernacle of David, of which we are, will once and for all be prepared to receive our King, who will dwell with us forever and ever. That's what this is all about. It is not about you being a Christian. Let me clue you in on something. It is not about you being a Christian. That's what the heathen say. You just get saved. Okay? It's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Becoming a son and a daughter of the Most High. That song, I am royalty. That's what I am. Are you? Do you think royal thoughts? Do you think with a destiny that God has given to you to change this world? If you don't, you don't believe that you're part of the royal kingdom. You don't believe you're part of a royal priesthood. Sad on you, because that's the truth. That's what He said in the Old Testament. He gave us an example of it through Israel. That's what we are to be. That's spiritual Israel. God is about restoring the former glories, like He said in Acts 15. No longer will this move of God measure the success of the church by how many people have committed themselves to Jesus Christ. Those days are gone. As great as Graham was in his ministry and still is today, it was about saving souls. Today it is about how many disciples the churches are making to send out into Father's field to go and bring His harvest in before the end comes. That's what this paradigm shift is all about. It's moving out in power and might. It's understanding that nothing can stop you. Not the fear of death, not the attack of the enemy, not the loss of a job, not the loss of sickness, health, the death of somebody. Nothing can stop you. Amen. Nothing. But you. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are the answer to what's hurting people and ailing people and ailing this society. You need to speak up against it. This is not church as usual. And as I said to Tom yesterday, this is not going to be your dad's religion that we're talking about. We're talking about a living relationship with Jesus Christ and doing what He has commissioned the church to do. And that is going into the highways and byways and compel them to be part of His family. That's our job. Are you glad to be part of His family? Then you should be going crazy when we assemble to see Daddy. How many of you as adults are away from your parents are so glad to see your parents when you have that opportunity? My parents have been dead for years. Some of you have recently lost your parents and you miss them terribly. How much do you think your Father in heaven misses time with you? And he tells us all the time, don't rush off, spend time with me. He is a good God. He is a good Father. He has given us everything, not some things, everything that pertains to life in Jesus Christ. What you need, He has for you. But you have to go to the cross to get it. You will be equipped. You will be sent out. You will come back and you will share what God has done through you. Just like the disciples did when Jesus trained them and sent them out. He called them. He trained them. He sent them out. They came back with a good report. And so will you of the great things that God has done. Didn't they not say when He sent the 70 out, even we have power over the demons? And Jesus cautioned them over pride. He said, don't rejoice that I've given you power over the demons. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Try to bring us down to a reality here. And so when we assemble, and I'm there overwhelmed in God's presence today because I knew that the enemy attacked me because of my ignorance, because of my laziness. I'm so grateful for the time He's given me more to get this vision out of my heart, to give it to you guys so that you can run with it. I don't know how much time God's given to me, but I want to make the most of it to pour it into you guys and be a part of what God's doing. I'm not satisfied in just teaching you. I'm not satisfied in just showing you how to do it. I'll only be satisfied when I see every chair filled. And then we move to a bigger building. Or we plant a second church. Or whatever that's going to be. And then I still won't be satisfied because God has many more souls than He once won. And I could say, God, your children are doing this. God, your children are taking what you've given to me. And I am so humble by what you've given to me. And they are running with it. And they are destroying the enemy. They are taking back everything that was God's, which are yours. Some of you right now are experiencing some things that are going on in your life spiritually that you don't understand. Some of you are receiving visions. Some of you are receiving prophetic insight. Some of you are receiving some apostolic basics. Some of you are receiving teachings in the Spirit. Some of you don't understand where you're at. Some of you are trying to hide from God. Some of you are thinking that I'm crazy. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm going to move in the Spirit. I'm going to move in the flow of God. The full anointing that God has for me is now going to flow upon you. I'm not holding back anymore. I want to exhort you to embrace the kingdom culture. Make it your own. Be a reality. Don't be like everybody else out there. Be like Jesus. And you will find yourself when you lose yourself in Him. You will find out that your individuality will be unique unto you and not like everybody else. Don't do what people are trying to squeeze you to do something when you feel that that's not right. Do what God says to do. Some of you are in situations that you know that you're disobedient to God. Get His clarity on it. Find out what it is that He wants you to do. Then do it. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about who you're going to offend. Are you ready to offend Him who died for you? Then the person who says, well, I don't really think you should be doing that. I don't think you should be sending letters out for your mission team. I don't think you should have this. Who cares what you think? Really? Who cares? I used to live my young Christian life like that. Apologizing for what God was doing in my life. Being a young prophet. And apologizing for how He was using me. Until one day God said, are you ashamed of me? I'm like, no, I'm not ashamed of you. Then why aren't you telling people about what I'm doing with you? Why are you so afraid to tell them what I'm doing? And they're like, I don't know. I don't want to offend them. I don't want them to think that I'm weird. He says, you're peculiar. You're not weird. You're my son. And from that day forward, I stopped apologizing. I stopped caring about what people believed about me or said about me. It doesn't matter. What matters is what the Master wants for my life. And as long as I'm doing it, I'm pleasing Him. And thereby I can glorify Him and brag on Him because He's done it. He's the one that's changed my life. He's the one that died on the cross to pay for my sins, to give me the privilege to say, yes, Lord. Because I can't say no, Lord. And this is what it means to be free in the Spirit. This is what it means to do what He tells you to do. Let your hearts be consumed with the fire of God. And then release it on people. Who cares if they got asbestos on? God's Word will burn right through that. Because it's about your heart. It's about your spirit. Get involved. Get involved in people's lives. If you don't get involved, then you don't believe the mission statement that we have. You don't believe what this church has built itself upon. The scripture of John 13:35. Who knows that scripture? They will know you, that you are my disciples. Not Christians, my disciples. By the love you have one for another. Are you His disciple? I'm not asking you, are you a Christian? Are you His disciple? You see, we're in a paradigm shift right now. There is a transition that is happening. And what will happen is those who don't call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ, don't live according to the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. It says, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says that He will punish the wicked and those who are disobedient to the gospel. Those are the Christians. Disciples are obedient to Jesus Christ. Disciples love the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples follow after Him wherever He goes. Disciples are the ones that said, only You have the words of life. Where can we go? This paradigm shift is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. It's going to get rid of the old wine skins and the old wine. And what's coming in a very short period of time is something that is going to bring power. It's going to unite the church of Jesus Christ, not just in Williamstown, but throughout the world. Because the King's coming. And how we conduct ourselves in this time is critical. If your heart isn't burning for the Lord, and you're waiting for nothing. If your heart's burning for the Lord and you're involved, then I praise God and I exhort you to continue. Continue. Keep asking for the fresh oil, like the smart virgins were. They had the oil and they trimmed their wicks. They didn't let it burn out. And when He came, they were ready. Don't be like the dumb virgins who let their oil burn out and they had to go and buy some more. When all you had to do was ask. The seriousness of this, and I can't emphasize it anymore because my heart has been yearning for this for so many years, is that you take this vision and apply this apostolic message to your heart and set it on fire. Let God burn in your heart. As Sean was saying, you know, it's serious, Pastor, but you need to have some fun in rest and be refreshed, and he's absolutely right. But I'm only doing this because some of us don't really realize how important this is to the King. I'm not doing it because I want to get brownie points for God. I'm doing it because it's my job. And as an unfaithful servant to other brothers and sisters, I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. Not that I was saved. Not that I did all these great and wonderful things. They don't mean nothing. But I did something to help you grow and become mature in your master, to become sons and daughters of the King. My job is to prepare you for that. And with your help, we'll get there together. Amen? Father, I just thank you that this paradigm shift that you're creating right now, Lord God, is happening, God. The wind is blowing. Your spirit is moving, God. We can see clearly the examples that your sons have brought forth today, God, are so true. New wineskins, the rehabbing of a facility must first be trimmed down and torn apart, God, and that's exactly what you're doing in our hearts. You're challenging us, God. You're challenging us through our physical and mental strength, Lord God, to trust in you. God, you challenged me, and I just stayed up and keep praying to you about how you're going to make this water situation with the church happen, and I never thought about the answer that you've given to us, Lord. But Father, you're in control, and I acknowledge that. You're in control of each and every one of our lives, and you're good, God. You don't condemn us. You encourage us to be more than what we were yesterday. Father, I ask that your sons and your daughters arise now, God, to be that which they've been created to become, kings and priests at this end time, God, that we would bring your harvest into your house, God, that your house would be full, God, and that you would receive all the praise and all the glory that you so do, God. Father, some may think that we're crazy because we can't see you, but we know you're here. We sense it in our spirits. And we yearn more for you, God. As we go on this day, God, as we go on this week, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would bring conviction to us to ask the question, where am I? What am I doing? What does God want me to do? How do I fit into this puzzle? What is my job? Holy Spirit, don't let us settle for, let us no longer be settled out for mediocrity or just some sort of simple answer, God, and just continue living our lives so that they have no consequence. But Father, fill our spirits like you did with Joel, with dreams and visions of hope, of faith, of love, God, to become your disciple again. You give us the privilege each and every day to become your disciple again. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, what you have delivered from me, from my life, God, I cannot thank you enough. And what you have given to me, I am so humbled. And what you say about me, God, and what you say about your children, and what you say about your church, God, I will shout it out. I will proclaim it, God, because that's what you say about it. I will not be silent, God. I will tell them the truth. Until my last breath, God, I thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.